So one of the questions that I asked him, I said, Cody, do you pray regularly before you eat your meals? And he said, no, sir, I don't have to. My mom's a good cook. I bet he's praying now. I'm just teasing. It's good to have them back. They've been on vacation. You know, it is fun, though, to be here on Mother's Day morning and be able to open God's Word and be able to preach words of encouragement to moms. You know, I was laughing. I talked with several of the men and said, you know, why is it on Father's Day that preachers get to stand up here and tell us what we're doing wrong, and point their fingers and shake them? But we can't do that on Mother's Day because we got to take them home. And so, this message will be a message of encouragement. Because like I said, my mother, as well as my wife, is here this morning. So, you know, mothers hold a special place, though, in the hearts of children. George Washington once said that, all I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. Likewise, Abraham Lincoln later said, all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. You know, there are some telling portraits that we can look in Scripture and picture mothers with their children. You know, as I was thinking of them last night, as I thought about Jochebed, how she withstood the law and took her child and Moses and hid him. And I don't have my microphone on because my daughter's back here. But as she hid him and then defied the law that was there. Also, there was the mother there in 1 Kings who was in really an argument with another mother about whose son had actually died. And that mother, when Solomon in his wisdom said, well, here's what we'll do. We'll take a sword and we'll divide the living child. And each one of you will get half. Oh, but then the real mother stood up. Oh no, that she might have the whole child rather than danger or rather than slay the child. There was the mother of James and John who wanted the place of honor for her two sons when she asked Jesus, could they sit on the right and left-hand side of you in your kingdom? Now, not all the pictures of mothers in the Bible are those kind of stories. I mean, we don't want to forget the story of Athaliah, the mother was put in the it was quoted in the Bible that she was his counselor to do wicked when her son served as the king. We also don't want to forget about Herodias, the wife of Herod, who's not only consented to allow her daughter to dance sensually in front of the king and other men, but ask her to do a very wicked thing in return for that, in asking for the head of John the Baptist. You know, there are levels of love that only a mother can understand. There are those levels which are toward her child are unmatched by any other human love. A mother's love is instinctual. A mother's love is unconditional. And a mother's love is forever. Instinctual being, you know, an inner emotion that you can't learn. You know, scientists say that that instinctual feeling that mothers have toward their children may be a chemical blending when the child was actually in the womb. Now, we know that the blood never circulates together. But there are times that the nutrients and the things which must reach the child in that chemical reaction may cause a bonding that science can't even explain. That's that instinct, moms, when you go downstairs and you hear the children crying in the nursery and you can pick yours out above all the others down there. That's that instinct when you can know that something is endangering your child and immediately take action. I read a story last night of a mother who had put her child into the car seat, and as she pulled out of the parking lot, she didn't realize the car seat wasn't buckled in. And as she turned out, the car seat actually the door opened and the car seat actually tumbled out into a busy intersection. Without even thinking, she slammed the car in park and jumped out in a busy intersection and grabbed up her child. It was just instinct. She felt that danger. And she did what was necessary. There's a Jewish proverb that says, a mother understands what a child does not say. You know, that's that instinct that you know what they're thinking. I can't tell you how many times I've come home and Andrea will tell me something's wrong with one of the kids. I'm going, really? Because I don't see it. It's not that instinct for the father as it is with the mother. And a mother's love is unconditional. And that, you know, you may have heard somebody say that he has only a face a mother could love. I hope none of you ever heard your mother say that. But it's that natural affection that for mothers to love their children, you know, God has that same natural love for us. You know, the claim in 1 John 4:19 is that the only reason we love Jesus is because He first loved us. He had that unconditional love toward us that God would send His only Son to die for us, that we might share eternity with Him unconditionally. And a mother's love is forever. You know, it may be painful. Some of you mothers who are here today may have lost a child at some time, whether it was a miscarriage or even an adult child that may have passed away. But it's nice to know that even death never diminishes that love. And it's that way with God as well. Because God says that not even death nor life can separate us from the love of God. It's almost to me as if God has placed mothers on this earth to kind of give us an example of His love for us. So that we have a physical being that we can go to and share. That knows our inner being. That knows our thoughts. And who loves us despite all our faults and loves us forever. I'm going to take three different passages of Scripture this morning and we want to look at some of the examples of mothers. But before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank You. God, for what You do in our lives and the fact that You give us someone who cares for us in such a way that we can't even describe it. Lord, thank You for those mothers who are here this morning. And Lord, as Matt prayed earlier, for those who are facing a difficult time today, oh Lord, that You might bless them and lift them up. And Lord, strengthen them even on this day. Now, God, I pray that You would take Your word. Lord, nothing that I say would be that which would be uplifting, except for that it's Your Word which does the uplifting. God, I pray that Your Word would, as promised, go out and not return void. And Lord, we ask now that You would bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles, and if you would, turn over to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. When we look at this passage, it's when we look at this letter that Paul had written to this new pastor, he comes up with something that is just eye-opening as a responsibility of mothers. If you look in chapter 1 there in verse 5, Paul is saying when he writes, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." We see two generations of sharing. See, ladies, one of the first responsibilities God has given you is to share your faith with your children. As I was reading and preparing, I read a story where some lady had been in an evangelistic meeting, and she was very moved and very touched by what she had heard. And so she went home and she wrote a letter to the evangelist. And she said, "Sir, in that meeting I was touched. I feel like God has called. I have 12 children, and I feel like God has called me to preach." The evangelist very tactfully wrote her back and told her, "Congratulations, because God has also provided you with your first congregation." She had 12 children to teach the Word of the Lord. And as we read in 2 Timothy, as we get over into the chapter, we see that his mother and his grandmother actually taught him the Scriptures from when he was a small child. And in teaching him those things, And first the grandmother learning and becoming probably saved during Paul's first missionary journey there, she shared that information with her own daughter. And as she shared that information with her own daughter, she fell under her own conviction and got saved as well. And then when her son was born, that influence of the grandmother and the mother over him, leading him and teaching him from God's Word, led him under conviction and salvation, and led him then to be the preacher of probably one of the most outreached churches here in this area at the time. If we think about the size of the church at Jerusalem, this would have probably been right under that. Because not only did we have the Jews who were there, but we also had those Gentiles who were converted in this church. Mothers, it's important that you share your faith with your children. Not only is it important that you share your faith with your children, but that you share your faith in front of your children. I read a story, of a pastor's wife who, when he would go out on preaching engagements, before his car would ever leave the driveway, his wife would hit her knees and begin to pray for him. Begin to pray for the services, to begin to pray for his safety as he traveled there, to pray that the Word of God would be used mightily through him. And as she did this, she did it openly. Her children saw it. And when her daughter grew up and was of age to go off to school, she was going to go off to college, she told her mother, she said, "The one thing that makes me able to leave without any regret or without any heartache is I know that when my car pulls out of the driveway, you'll be on your knees praying for me." See, it's important, moms, that we not only share our faith, but we share that faith in front of them. Take your Bibles and turn back, if you would, to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 2. You'll be familiar with the story. This is the wedding there at Cana. Jesus and His mother and possibly others in His family had been invited to attend. We know some of the disciples were there as well. And as the wedding feast was underway, the wine ran out. And we see that Jesus' mother comes to Him and says, they have no wine. Verse 4 says, Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. See, she was exercising her faith in front of others. She was going out on a limb here. Jesus had just made a statement that she really had no reason to believe that He was going to pursue and do anything with this. But her faith said, whatever He tells you to do, do it. She let her faith be shown in front of others without embarrassment, without even thinking this may fail. You know, many times our prayers are hindered because we're afraid God won't answer. But why wouldn't He? If we ask things that are within His will, isn't He one who wants to answer those kinds of prayers? I mean, the example that Christ gave, why would a father give a stone when his son asked for bread? Why would He give him a serpent when he asked for a fish? It's the same principle. When we're praying, why? When praying in the will of God, would we think God wouldn't answer those prayers? Moms, you shouldn't be hindered in your prayer life thinking God won't hear you. His desire is to be glorified. And in answered prayer, He will be. I can't tell you how many times we've prayed for things in our own house and saw it come to pass and how excited it would make the whole family when we told them about it. Moms, you don't need to just share your faith with your children, but you need to share it in front of your children. And in sharing your faith in front of your children, you need to proclaim your faith interceding for your children. Go over to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. I'll fill you in on the story and then I'll read the Scripture. There was a woman, a Shunammite woman, whom when the prophet of God had come to her, He told her, hey, you're going to have a son. And as the son was born and grew and became of age, he went out into the field one day to work with his father and the servants in the field. And as he was in the field, he cried, my head, my head. His dad immediately called for one of the servants and said, take him to his mother. Take him to his mother. Show him what to do. Now, we're not given any indication what exactly happened. It was probably some type of a heat stroke, something that was going on which was causing intense pain in his head. And as they took the child back, as they got him back to his mother, the Bible says that she put him on her lap and held him, and he died. And when the child was dead, she took him and laid him on his bed, closed the door, without saying anything else other than she sent out to the field and told her husband, hey, I need a servant. I need a ride. I've got to go find the man of God. He said, is everything okay? She said, everything's fine. I just need to talk with the man of God. And so as they saddled up and began to ride, she gave the instructions to the servant. She said, don't slow down for me. You keep going. Press it hard. Unless I tell you to stop, you press hard. And as they came up on the prophet, and as he looked, he said, hey, here comes that Shunammite woman. I wonder what's wrong. And he sent his helper down there. He sent Gehazi down there. He said, hey, go down there and see. Make sure everything's okay. And as he got down there, she said, oh, it's fine. I just need to talk with him. I need to go see Elisha. I need to be near the man of God right now. And as she got there, she gave him the news that her son was dead. He immediately sent his helper back with his staff and to raise him from the dead. But in verse 30 of chapter 4, it says, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. She was interceding for her son that could not. He was dead. She had taken him and placed him on that bed, and she had gone after the man of God because she knew he could do something. She knew he could help. Her faith to intercede for her son ended up reviving her son. Because she said, you can send your servant if you like, but I'm going with you. And she held on to it. And then as Elisha got back, the child was revived. And the child lived. But it was the mother's beckoning. It was her prayer interceding for her son, who could not do anything for himself because he was dead. Mothers, you need to be intercessors. Every day, praying for your children. Reaching out and touching the hem of the garment of God, saying, Lord, use my children. Lord, take my children. Maybe in some cases, Lord, save my children. Now, this in no way takes the responsibilities off fathers. But these are mothers. These are examples that God felt worthy to place in His Word to show how moms love their children in such a way. To share their faith with them. To share their faith in front of them. And to intercede when they could do nothing for themselves. Now you may be here this morning and you may say, well, Brother Ricky, I do all that now. Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. Oh, that you'd do it more. Maybe that you would begin to pray now for your children that God would revive their hearts. That God would move in their hearts in such a way to stir them into service, to be missionaries, to be preachers, to be Sunday school teachers, to be school teachers that are able to share with their children through their own examples, to be Christian businessmen who stand with integrity when so much of the world's business is not. Proclaim your faith, interceding for those children. If you're here this morning and you say, well, Brother Ricky, I haven't done that like I should, then I urge you, Start today. Even as we pray, even as we give the invitation, there's no time like the present. And you may be here this morning and say, "But Brother Ricky, I have no relationship with God in order to even be able to talk with Him." Well, then you've come to the right place. Because there is a room full of people here who would love nothing better than to take God's Word and show you how you can be saved. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, please don't leave here today with that doubt in your mind. Oh, that God would touch each one of our hearts this morning. And pour out His grace. Every head bow, every eye closed, that we might stand together. And you heard those questions. Where are you at, ladies? Where are you at, men? Oh, that God would touch you and use you today. If God's speaking to your heart as the musicians begin to play, then I urge you, come to these altars.